Are you ready for a war?
It's a trap.
Game over, man. Game over.
She's just killed the helicopter with a car.
It's out of bullets.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the latest rendition of BCD Flixtures at MacU Campus. Not actually live. This is recorded in a studio, in front of a studio, live studio audience. Okay, anyway. So, let's introduce my co-host for the day.
Daniel Stull.
And
Bama Rogers.
And we are joined by a special guest.
Jesse R. Curry.
All right. And today you're in for a treat, because we... On today, February 18th of 2013, we are reviewing From Dusk Till Dawn. So make sure it's sometime between dusk and dawn when you listen to this podcast. All right, but as usual, we're going to go ahead and start off with box office results from last weekend's box office. And starting off, we got a big ol' yippee-ki-yay mother from A Good Day to Die Hard with $24.8 million. And I saw this Die Hard. And it wasn't a good day to Die Hard. You get it?
I get it. That's a good one there.
Yeah. I mean, they set me up for that. You know,
and from the crowd.
Boo. Yeah. Okay, you know what? You know what's really terrible in this movie? Is they actually put the title in the movie. This is like right before the final act of the movie. He's talking to his son. He's like, you know, I know we have our problems, man, but it's been a good day. I was like, oh, no. No, they didn't just do that. So, folks, unless you were the diehardest of the diehard fans, don't go see this movie, please. I'm a huge diehard fan, and I didn't like this movie because it wasn't a diehard movie. It was a generic action movie starring John McClane, who wasn't even very John McClane-like in the movie. So, yeah, I was kind of upset after watching the other four diehards right before preceding this fourth diehard. So, anyway, number two. Identity Thief, 23.7. This movie sucks, and it shouldn't be making this much money.
That's kind of ridiculous.
It is kind of ridiculous.
So what you're saying is, it stole your money.
Oh! Yes. Part of my identity was robbed from this movie. It's part of it I can't get back after seeing this movie.
It's why I'm glad we saw it for free.
We did see it for free for early, but, you know, hey, what can we say? Number three is the latest round of Valentine's movie, Safe Haven. Although not the typical Valentine movie, apparently it's still kind of written in it's like in league with those Nicholas Sparks books or whatever. This one made $21.5 million. You know, I'm actually surprised it didn't make more for Valentine's Day weekend, honestly. But hey, you know, whatever. Number four, the animated movie Escape from Planet Earth with $15.9 million. Haven't seen it. I know I follow a dude on Twitter. Actually, graduated from our sister school, Anderson University, who co-wrote the script for this movie. So, random fun fact.
Impressive.
Anyway,
his name is
Corey Edwards. I'm not. He wrote a draft for it. I'm not sure how close his was to the final. Anyway, number five is Warm Bodies with $7.6 million. It's still hanging on. It's still hanging on.
It just won't die.
Oh! Could you say it just keeps coming back to life? Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, I can't. Just don't waste your money. Unless you really want to. So, unless you really, you know, want to, you have to go with your girlfriend, she really wants to see it, I'd say no. But we know what we're going to do now. We talked about top five box office, which right now is looking pretty sad, honestly. I don't think any of these movies are good. Other than, say, for Escape from Planet Earth, I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know. Anyway, moving into our news section. To know what's going on in the world these days with movies and games and such. What's going on?
Well, Ezra, we have talked about several times on this podcast before. Star Wars is coming again. We will get to see another Star Wars.
Lens flare.
Yes, there will be lens flares.
Maybe.
And it has been, according to IGN, confirmed that Harrison Ford is set to return for Han Solo. They are saying that he will be back for this movie. So
I'll wait and see. We'll see.
That's not official, but it's one of those things that I've been waiting for to say that it's official, I think. So
this isn't like the official announcement. This is the shady report that says, yes, this is going to happen, which sometimes are true. Sometimes are very true. But we'll see.
Yeah, so Harrison Ford is going to According to IGN, it sounds like he's probably going to be for
whoa,
sure.
Whoa. Someone just crashed this party, okay?
Party crasher?
Dude, I am not a party crasher.
He's party crasher. I know. Not. Conveniently, the half Mexican crashed the party on From Dusk Till Dawn. Just saying. It's not a coincidence by any means.
I feel like I was saying here, guys.
Yeah. I just think you were running late, Matt.
Yeah.
Crashed the party.
Severely late.
Man, okay. Things took a major turn out of nowhere.
I didn't expect it at all. Like, Matt just showed up.
Oh, man.
All right, everybody. Man. We have another special guest this week. And another addition to our trio here is our special guest this week, Matt Andrews. Welcome to the podcast, sir.
I'm glad to be here and awesome to rate this movie with you guys. And, I still think Channing Tatum would be a better Han Solo than Harrison.
Okay, guys, that was the co-host, formerly known as Matt Andrews. He just left the room for some reason, inexplicably. I don't know.
That was
Channing Tatum, and then he just blew up. I don't know.
He got stabbed in the face.
Yeah, something about that.
I don't know.
Yeah. That was a troll.
Harrison Ford just drop kicked him through the ceiling. Okay, so anyway, Harrison Ford.
Most likely going to be back for the Star Wars.
Yeah, so. I would say so. I mean, like, I think his character's definitely in the story. And out of all of them, he's the only guy who could say no, I think, because everyone else needs the career move. But
but he's also, I think, one of the only ones that could pull it off, too. So.
I think in his agreement, it's going to be, you have to kill my character in this movie. Because he wanted him to die in Return of the Jedi, too.
True.
So.
No, it was Empire.
No. He wanted him to make it an Empire and then die in Return of the Jedi. Oh. Sacrifice himself. And he was really bitter when George Lucas didn't kill him.
Because you can't sell merchandise, man.
Are you talking about Return of the Jedi where he was, like, defrosted?
No. He was defrosted in Empire. But what happened, he told George Lucas is that he wanted to come back and have to sacrifice himself to, like, make it happen. Okay. He thought he had to die. You can watch all
and George Lucas said, no, I can't sell merchandise that
way. That's exactly what he said. He said no, you gotta fall
I
on,
can't make money
you gotta fall, you gotta fall in love with Leia so I can have a franchise afterwards so you guys can have kids and they can make money off. I can make money off all the books you're gonna sell. So, yeah. So anyway, yes, so looks like Harrison Ford's probably going to be back. Nothing official, but this is like, you know, the backdoor official. So, all right, Bama, what do you got for us?
All right, probably some of our biggest news that we've ever had because most of us in here are Game of Thrones fans.
Most of us.
All five of us, actually.
All five of us are.
I can either confirm or deny that.
Matt is on the poll about that, but anyway.
You're saying he's in the closet.
Yes. He went in for a jacket, probably going to come out with a sweater vest. Who knows?
Whoa.
But anyway, back to the news. Peter Dinklage has been casted for Days of Future Past.
Another Days of Future Past casting announcement on our podcast.
I know.
I didn't know we talked about this movie on this podcast.
I mean, seriously.
But I mean, we all love his character in Game of Thrones, and he's known for other parts and other movies. I really remember him mostly from Elf. He played a disgruntled children's book writer.
He did. He also played in Prince Caspian. Also.
Yes, he was also in Prince Caspian. But they have not said what part he's playing, but we do know for sure that he's going to be the villain,
the bad guy.
For this film. A lot of people were speculating that when they first heard that he was going to be in the film, that he was going to be Puck, who was part of
Delta Flight. Wolverine worked with him.
Up in Canada. Stupid Canadians. But no, he's not going to be Puck. He will be some yet to be named evil villain.
Man, that's super exciting.
Oh yeah,
seriously. I mean the X-Men First Class. I mean, gosh, like it totally like redeemed in my opinion. Just X-Men, like, oh my gosh. So
you
crazy.
Mean it redeemed it the third one.
Yeah, X-Men 3 and Wolverine, yeah. It did.
It really did.
It really did.
And especially, like, man, he has some of the most iconic quotes in Game of Thrones. Just his acting alone. I mean, wasn't he not? How many awards was he nominated for?
He's won one Emmy. He's been nominated twice for that role. He's won other awards, too. I think he won a Golden Globe for it. I don't have the list in front of me. But
who cares about Golden Globes?
He's... you know, they don't really matter. But anyway, you know, he's gotten lots of critical buzz, like specifically him on that show. And the only reason he didn't win it this year is because Breaking Bad came back. And then at the Emmys, it's kind of a giant behemoth of a monster to beat. So anyway, but yeah, freaking fantastic, dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. He's one of the best actors on that show, which is a show with an excellent cast. So, so any theories on you guys leaning one way or the other on who he's going to play?
I'm not really well known in the X-Men universe of villains. He is a little person, so I really have no idea who in the world he could play. Honestly, I mean, they could just make up somebody for it. Who knows? I mean, we already know that continuity has been broken in this film already.
But this is the movie. This is how you fix it. This is how you fix it. Time travel.
Because time travel fix continuity.
True.
Oh gosh, my hunch based on what some of the stuff I've read and some of the buzz that I feel like the most likely of the known villains of the X-Men is probably Bolvar Trask. That's the guy who builds the Sentinels. He's not a dwarf in the comics, but he's a character I could easily see them rewriting and reinventing as a dwarf character. I could see this little man who has felt belittled his whole life uses his intellect to build this giant machine army to destroy, to get powerful and destroy the mutants.
Whoa. We are finally going to get a Sentinel?
Yeah, Sentinels are confirmed in this movie. Yeah, Sentinels are confirmed in this movie. Wow. Yeah, they're an integral part of it.
Not a tease when, like, the first...
Not X-Men 3. No. Yeah, where it's like the
Sentinel head coming at you.
No, okay. This is legit. Sentinels are going to be in this movie.
Are they going to be dwarf Sentinels?
No, they're going to be giant Sentinels.
They better not be.
That would kind of be my... That would destroy my whole poetic analysis of why they're passing Peter Dinklage, the guy building the Sentinels. Okay. All right, well, super exciting. Can't wait. You take Game of Thrones and you take a movie I was already super excited about and you put them together and you get a really...
Such a great cast already, and then to add him... Oh, gosh.
All right, so, moving on. Jesse, what do you got for us?
Just a little bit of buzz around the internet. There's been some really like advanced screenings, like test screenings for Pacific Rim.
Oh, you guys
know about that?
Yeah, I heard about
that. And the buzz around it is very, very positive.
Yes, very.
They're like, people are like, oh, this is the movie Transformers wish it could have been. I'm pretty pumped. I'm a big fan of like the Godzilla movies, like the old school ones and stuff. So I'm really pumped to see a giant robot fight a giant monster and little Asian people get crushed.
Yeah. So, listen, man, all I got to say is this totally looks like it really does look like we're never going to get our Power Rangers movie or Awesome One. This is about as close as we're going to get, okay? Zords fighting giant monsters. Just saying. Yeah. You know, director Rian Johnson, I follow him on Twitter, and he said he got to see the band screening, and he said he thought it was phenomenal. So,
dude, the main character is Jax, the actor who plays Jax Teller from Sons of Anarchy. And this is, if I'm correct, his first major main role in a film.
Anyway, so I'm also excited because Ron Perlman's going to be in the movie.
Is he in the movie?
He is in the movie. Ooh, nice. He is cast in the movie as probably one of the pilots or something. So that'll be really cool.
Oh yeah, dude. I love me some Ron Perlman. Okay. Idris Elba. Excuse me. The English actor Idris Elba. He's English. He's phenomenal, and I saw him in the trailer. I was like, crap. Well, way to cast it, man. I'm excited about that.
I think that name's just too hard. I'm just going to keep calling him that black guy.
Okay, well, anyway, I got a couple little news items here. More rumors than anything, but I got two rumors and a news item. Okay. First, not necessarily rumor, but kind of question mark we got here is John Williams came out and said that he would love to score the new Star Wars sequels.
He's the man.
He is John Williams. He's the legendary John Williams. He's been not only for more Academy Awards than anyone else. He's phenomenal. He's written tons of great.
Fantastic.
Last year alone, he got nominated for 2 Academy Awards. Do we want to see this guy keep doing Star Wars even though he's almost pushing 80 years old? Or do we want to see them really pass the torch to the next generation?
Yes, I do. Okay. I want him in this.
So that's like if George Lucas is like, hey, I'm going to pass the time. You know what? I want to give the Star Wars the next generation and then call up Steven Spielberg and direct. That's what that's like. That's exactly what that's like.
Well, I mean, is he, like, this is going to sound weird, but is he going to be alive?
That's what I'm saying. Like, this guy is old.
2-3 movies.
He's old. I mean, I'm actually shocked he's still doing what he's doing, you know?
I'm shocked he's still alive. I mean, 80s. Like, to be in the film business, man, I mean, that's a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. And it's freaking Star Wars. Like, if you don't do it right, we will riot.
I honestly think that one of his last great soundtracks was Episode 3. He did, I mean, we can say what you want about the movie, but the music was fantastic.
Oh, yes.
Not the Duel of Fate. It was Duel of Fates. There was one they did specifically for Episode 3, Anakin and Obi-Wan did the fight and stuff. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name. No, Duel of Fates. I said that. There was another one. Battle of the Heroes. That was what it was. And it was really good. It was, like, fantastic. Like, you could just listen to it. I mean, I have just listened to it on its own and, like, get chills just listening to it. So he's done some other decent work from him. I feel like that's like the last iconic, you know, movie he did where I was like, got chills just listening to the soundtrack where it's, you know, because I feel like, honestly, no offense, Bama, and this is, I love John Williams. He is like one of the most influential composers in Hollywood, but I feel like he's been kind of treading old water on most of his soundtracks. Like, there's a lot of themes that are kind of like not exactly the same, but it's like, you feel like you heard it. Like, War Horse, I was like, I mean, I know it's not the same as like these other three movies here, but I've heard this before. Or even The Adventures of Tintin, which he also did last year. It was like, this isn't Indiana Jones, but it kind of sounds like it sometimes, you know? Or Hook, or stuff like that. So all I'm saying is, you know, I don't think he's peaked already. That's all I'm saying. And why not
he's 80. Of course he's exactly. already peaked.
This is what I'm saying. We hand it to the next generation. Give it to Michael Giacchino.
If he hasn't peaked already, something's wrong.
Michael Giacchino, who is J.J. Abrams' most popular collaborator, is in his 40s. This is the guy who did Lost. He did Star Trek. He is just a freaking all-out great composer. He won an Oscar for doing Up, and he also did the Incredible soundtrack.
How old is Hans Zimmer? Do you know?
He's like probably in his 50s.
Okay. He's pretty good. I enjoy him.
I will say likelihood. I would listen to him too. But I'd say likelihood is Michael Giacchino, which is my thought. And I'll also say this. I've been saying he's going to be the next John Williams for like forever now. So
is Michael Giacchino doing Star Trek 2?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, isn't there like a little fear of like Star Trek 2 and Star Wars? Like if he were to do it, sounding a little bit similar?
Well, but we already have J.J. Abrams who's directing Star Trek 2 and directing Star Wars. And there's already that fear isn't already inherent. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Michael Giacchino is going to be big. I think Michael Giacchino is still going to draw vastly from the already Star Wars scene.
You have to.
Like, they're still going to, when they have the opening crawl, you're still going to hear the da 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 da. You know, you're still going to hear the classic Star Wars. I'm saying, like, with some of the newer stuff, and he's going to remake some themes and do his own things. Mm-hmm. And so that'll feel more classic. I mean, because I still feel like Star Wars has a classier sound than even the Star Trek theme. So that's what I'm saying, is I think you're going to get more. I don't know. That's my take on it, anyway.
What I can't wait for would be what would be their Imperial March song. Because, I mean, throughout the, you know, episodes 4, 5, and 6, you know, the Imperial March was, you know, just the backbone for whenever any empire
actually
was walking
didn't even
through.
Show up. And actually was not in episode 4.
Wasn't.
No, but see, that's the thing. You've seen so many times, you just think it is because it's so.
But like, just what's that dark side music gonna sound like?
Right.
I mean, of course they're gonna have dark side in here somewhere.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But what is that gonna sound like for this new era of film?
That's what I'm saying. Look, I mean, we could do John Williams, and I'm not going to say, oh, I'm just kidding. I don't want John Williams to do it, because he's John Williams. He's John Williams. But I'm also kind of like, I'm also more of me saying, but let's give it to someone else. Let's see what they're going to do with it, because these are people who have deep respect for Star Wars.
I wouldn't mind it. I would love for John Williams to do it, but I wouldn't mind if someone else got a shot.
Yeah, okay. I would agree with that.
All right, moving on to the next rumor, and I don't think we're going to elaborate on this one too much, but Sam Mendes, who directed Skyfall, who is now being tossed around by a lot of people as the best Bond movie ever made, or one of the best Bond movies ever made, is being tapped to do the next Bond movie. Nothing confirmed, but according to his reps, there's a 75% likelihood that he's going to do it. So, kudos. I'd like to see him do another one, but I'm also kind of like, that kind of destroys the whole Bond thing where it's like one director does one movie, and then, but it was such a great Bond movie, I mean...
It's freaking awesome.
Come on. All right, and last one, the actual news here, also related to Game of Thrones, because we just love our freaking Game of Thrones. Jason Momoa, who played the character Khal Drogo in season 1 of Game of Thrones, is set to be the villain Drax the Destroyer in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, he's going to make such a great villain, I think.
I think Drax the Destroyer is a villain, so yeah.
He's a villain.
All right, so we're going to see him kill some people. Is he going to rip someone's throat out?
Hopefully raccoons.
The real question is he going to melt someone's face off? That's the real question.
If he can do that in Guardians of the Galaxy, he'll have my respect forever.
Bungie just released their new video game called Destiny. And I watched a video about it, man, and it is crazy. They are, like, hitting the fence, basically saying 343, try and top this. I mean, the game itself, the graphics. What I noticed, though, on the video, just like showing off the game and stuff, there was this sense that they're going to use cell phones, like iPhones, interconnected with the video game to like help connect players and all. And man, just the expansiveness and just like how freaking awesome it looks.
Just FYI, this is not going to be an Xbox exclusive, though.
What's that?
It's not an Xbox exclusive, though.
No.
No, it's because they're owned by Activision now, mm-hmm. so it's going to be on like every stinking device you can imagine.
I
know.
Well, I mean, that adds to like I mean, the multi-platform right. and just like the cell phone aspect right. of it. Like, hey, you want to go to this level next? I mean, it just, man, I'm really excited.
Well, and they're talking about, from what I've read about it and heard people kind of speculate, is they're not calling it an MMO, but it's kind of, but when you really think about the premise, it is MMO, just not in the same sense that we're used to with MMORPG mm-hmm. or MMO, like competitive multiplayer. It's mm-hmm. it's like you have these vastly interactive world, and then I had some people talk about the way they're doing the online is more in tune with a game called Journey that came out, where you're interacting with people, but you have no clue who they are. Mm-hmm. You know, like you would in the real, like you would. So I think that's really interesting.
What's funny is one of the statements one of the producers made was that the environment will do things that nobody will expect, even those who produce it. Like just a fully functioning environment, which is pretty crazy. Three of the characters that they brought out revealed so far, the type of classes that you'd be able to play are Hunter, Titan, and Warlock. Gosh, it's super exciting. I just can't wait. Like, it almost has, like, that Mass Effect feel.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of nervous because, yeah, anyway.
Now, I did read a confirmation. It will not be out this year. But when it is, it'll still be on current-gen platforms. So, it'll probably be on, like, again, I think it's going to be on every stinking mm-hmm. console imaginable. Other than, save for the Wii. But I'm sure it'll be on the Wii U, the PS3, the Xbox, the PS4, or whatever the next gens are, the computer. I'm sure it'll be on everything. So it sounds very ambitious, for sure.
Hit or miss, man. Hit or miss.
Hit or miss. It could be a giant flop. I just know Activision is laying loads of money. I mean, the fact that they bought Bungie so they could make a game like this is already tons of money on the fact they're making this hugely expensive game. So
Activision is the same one that did Mass Effect, right?
No.
No.
That was EA. Okay. And actually, no, and they're the ones who published it. The developer is for that game was... BioWare.
So, BioWare, okay.
Yeah, and it's kind of like Activision owns Bungie. Bungie's the one who's actually making the game.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Awesome.
So they're the ones who do Call of Duty. I think we've about covered all the news items for this week, and now we're going to get into the real meat of our conversation. So, here's the summary. Two criminals and their hostages unknowingly seek temporary refuge in an establishment populated by vampires with chaotic results.
And strippers.
And strippers.
There are strippers.
And the and they didn't mention
vampires that are
vampire strippers. No, vampire strippers. And it doesn't mention that the temporary refuge in an establishment is actually a strip club called Twin Titty Twister.
If you don't believe us, just watch.
Just watch the movie.
And then you'll see the neon sign.
You'll see the neon sign, all right. Oh my gosh. Well, we're gonna go ahead. We'll just go ahead and start initial thoughts on this movie, and then we will break this puppy down. So, all right. Mr. Stoll, what did you think of this movie?
This movie was awesomely fun. I wish I watched it actually with Mr. Matt Andrews. I wish I could have got a big group of guys together to watch this movie because that would have been a lot of fun. But it was a lot of fun.
Awkward.
Yes, it would have been slightly awkward. But it was a lot of fun to watch. It's a very fun, entertaining movie. I don't know how critically it would hold up and things like that, but it was a very fun and entertaining, ridiculous movie. So,
all right, Bama, what did you think?
Entertainment value in this movie is just out the front door. I mean, just such a major twist in the middle. Oh my goodness. It's like you think you're watching one movie and then you just get slapped in the face, turn around, and you're going in a different direction.
Like literally.
Seriously, you are definitely going in a completely different direction. It's like you're driving down the road and then your friend decides, I'm just going to turn the wheel and hope we can go in some other direction with this.
Dude, it's like when you think you go to the theater and your girlfriend's like, I'm going to surprise you. We're going to go see the new Die Hard. Like you go and you get there and she's like, we got blindfold, okay? And you go in and then you're seeing Safe Haven instead. You're like, what the crap? I didn't see that coming. Except for this is an awesome twist. Not a
yes, this is a really good twist. Just overall, very entertaining.
All right. Jesse, what did you think of this movie?
I think this movie can be summed up in five words, and those words are explosions.
Yes.
Vampires.
Yes.
Tarantino.
Yes.
Clooney.
Yes.
And boobs.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I agree.
So that about sums it up. All right, guys, it's been a great review. So let's go.
I mean, I don't know. This definitely is not a movie for critics. or for Rodriguez to win a to win an Oscar or anything. This is just for him to entertain probably himself, you know, and us. And it's freaking awesome. Like, I love it. I think it just is what it is. It feels kind of like a grindhouse movie. You just sit back and you just eat some popcorn and turn off your brain and watch the awesome unfold.
Like, I seriously think this is a precursor to Grindhouse, just saying, like, it really feels like that.
This film did win 4 awards, by the way. It won 2 Saturn Awards, Best Actor, George Clooney, and Best Horror Film. It won a Silver Scream Award. Robert Rodriguez won it, so I guess that would be for Best Director. And an MTV Movie Award for Best Breakthrough Performance, George Clooney.
Breakthrough? He had a career before that. Okay. Hey, do you happen
to have any awards? MTV, don't matter.
they matter even less than the Golden Globes. So, hey, by the way, did you happen to have the RT score for that up there?
So it won half of its nominations. I think that's pretty decent for a movie like
that.
That
is surprising, considering this doesn't seem like a movie critics would really that like.
A 64. Okay, now
that's
here's
solid.
I have my own thoughts on what critics think, but we're gonna get there. Matt, what did you think of this movie?
Dude, it was an interesting ride. I mean, at first you get right into the movie, it's going like, you know, 70 miles an hour, and then a sheriff gets shot. And progressively, you just keep getting weirder and weirder and weirder. Like, I mean, the brother starts getting really weird, starts hearing voices, and people talk to him. And, like Quentin Tarantino is such a creepy man.
He was already a creepy man before doing this movie.
No, seriously, like when I see pictures of Quentin Tarantino, I don't picture, did you mean what you said in there?
Okay, I'll specify, before even seeing this movie a few years ago, I thought he already looked like a creepy rapist. Something, you know, in his voice, the way he talks, I was like, this guy's just—he's just creepy. Like, he's got the chills from the guy, okay. And then I saw this movie, I was like, oh my gosh, this guy really is creepy, and he knows it.
What's funny is, like, I think he was creeping me out worse than the stripper vampires. I'm gonna be honest. Anyway, but I thought it was a fun movie, entertaining, and really funny to watch Stoll's reaction to the giant twist.
Oh, what a twist for the twister.
A little twister, ah.
Yeah.
If we don't have it, you don't want it.
Anyone you want. Anyone at all.
There's so many options. Just
hot, cold.
He's selling them, and you can buy them.
Listen, you got hot, you got cold.
And if you buy one, you can get another one for a penny.
You got dark, you got light, you got
smelly,
you got dirty, you got clean. Gosh. Okay, anyway.
If you don't get the reference, just go watch the movie.
Just go watch the movie. Please watch the movie. You'll find out. We can't say such things on here, but please, go watch the movie. Okay, so here's my thought. This movie's freaking awesome, okay? And this movie is a masterful piece of entertainment. It's a ride for sure. It's a lot of fun, you know? You get the plot twist that, holy crap. You're watching this, like, noir mafia, like, these, like, crime thriller, you know? These guys, like, for literally half the movie. Until, like, they get across the border. It's all about them getting across the border. They get across the border, and then all of a sudden, what the? There's vampires! And then literally the rest of the movie, you're like, this is a vampire slaying movie for the rest of the movie.
Pretty much.
But anyway, this movie, hugely entertaining. You know what? I think critics do like movies like this. They're not to, like, hand out awards to, like, Oscars. But no, these are, like, this is just, like, good old-fashioned cheesy Hollywood. And it's a lot of fun. And I've got a lot of love for this type of stuff, you know? It's fun. It's self-aware. That's one of the keys. This movie knows how stupid, ridiculous it is. And it has so much fun with it. Has so much fun with the fact that vampires came out of nowhere. They're really cheesy. I mean, holy crap. But anyway, before we get into the analysis, I want to say this movie gives you lots of options, okay? This movie offers lots of options. You got smelly, you got hairy, you got bloody, snapping, silky, velvety, naughty. Even have horse, dog, or chicken. Come what you want. This movie's got all sorts of stuff to offer. And if you want to see the full reference, watch the movie. Anyway, okay. So let's go ahead and hop into this. Do you guys think that this movie successfully meshes two genres?
No. Absolutely not. Because you think, okay, this is going to be action-y, crime film. You think it's going to go one way. And like I said, it literally slaps you in the face and kind of goes to a horror-ish type film.
You're saying it doesn't really mesh it with you as much as it takes them and just crams them together.
Yes,
and
it's like you take two semi trucks going at the same speed and they hit each other head on and they just fuse together somehow.
I mean, like we said earlier, I mean, this is essentially like laying the great like the framework for Grindhouse. Grindhouse did the same thing. I mean, it just came out of nowhere. I mean, it fascinates me that we are following one brother who is just caring about like stealing crap. Then you have one sadistic sex rapist brother, and then like next thing you know, you have a preacher involved. I mean,
ex preacher,
and then you have his little Korean boy,
Chinese.
I mean, not Japanese. And then you have vampires, and then you have Vietnam thrown in there. I mean, it was crazy.
That was great. Yeah, all sorts of crap like that. So what else you guys think? Do you agree with Bama? Does this movie just kind of does it mesh right? And I think that's a good yes. A totally precursor to Grindhouse, which totally plays up the super cheesy, ridiculous. And that was also done by Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez. So
I think you can classify it as just like your typical genre. I think for a movie beginning at its time, like first of its kind. I think it did rather well. Just to have a fun ride, in my opinion.
Okay. Stoll, what you thought? What do you think?
Well, it didn't mesh them together, but I enjoyed both parts of the story. If that makes sense, I enjoyed the first half, and then when the second movie started, I enjoyed that movie too.
That's essentially what it's like. This is two movies.
Fair enough. It really is. Okay, it really is two movies put together. Which again, this is another one of those rule breakers. Like you're like. I write reviews all the time. I criticize movies for doing this all the time. Like, it doesn't know what it wants to be. This movie knows that it's two movies, but it just plays it off
It doesn't care.
It doesn't care. It's just
it
like...
It gives you the middle finger.
Like, yeah. That stripper's dancing, and yeah, Quentin Tarantino's drinking alcohol off her foot. Yeah, she's a vampire. What?
Of course Tarantino would be drinking alcohol off a woman's foot.
Yes, off of this woman's foot, because as we all know, Quentin Tarantino, who's... As if he wasn't creepy enough already... has a foot fetish. You can see in every single one of his movies. You can.
Are you serious?
See. Oh yeah, his shots of feet in every single one of his movies. Watch him, all of them.
Are you serious? That's straight up creepy. If I ever saw this dude in like a hallway or like an alley, I'd probably run.
But see, but then the me would say no, I wouldn't do that because he's Quentin Tarantino. I don't want to sit and talk to him.
And then he's your feet would be in his room.
Keep, yeah. Keep your shoes on tight.
I'd let him look at my feet if he wanted to.
Yeah.
Sign my feet.
He has to pay me to see my feet.
You got
to
think about it. Yeah, think about it. Pulp Fiction. They have a whole dialogue about whether it's gay if a guy rubs another guy's foot or not.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying, shots of feet in all his movies. Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2. Remember? She's laying down and she's trying to move her foot.
Oh, exactly. My gosh.
Okay.
Dude, him and Rex Ryan should talk.
Okay. I guess the next question I'm going to move into. So, now that we've established this movie totally... shifts, like genre changes in the middle of the movie. Is this plot twist effective? Is it better for it?
Well, I want to say this. When I first started, now I did know that the movie was going to have a major change before I watched the film. I actually knew that. I kind of wish I didn't to really fully experience it. But when I first started watching the movie, I thought it was going one way. I thought, you know, okay, it's these two guys on the run. They've gotten in trouble with the law. They're on the run. They're trying to cross the border. Of Mexico, so they can be safe. They end up kidnapping this family, so they can use their van to get across the border. So I'm like, okay, clearly this is going away. It's like a crime. Like they're trying to get away, run away. How are they going to get away? Things like that. Well, then they get to the bar, and it changes. And I was like, okay, well, clearly that's not where this movie's going. This movie's clearly going to like Vampire Hunter. We're going to kill all these vampires. And then they build up this character, who's Jacob, who is the ex preacher. And they kind of build him up like, oh, he's the ex-preacher. He's kind of lost his faith. And without spoiling too much, they turn to him in this dark time.
I really wish we could quote George Clooney right here. In fact, I'm going to quote it right now, censored. Are you a faithless preacher or are you going to be a servant of God? Okay? If George Clooney looked me in the face and said that, I'd be like, dang. My faith would automatically be challenged. Like, I believe in Jesus in a second.
So when that happened, I thought, okay, I see the angle they're going on this. They're going to take like a Signs type of angle, like where Mel Gibson, if any of you have seen Signs, Mel Gibson, you know, loses his faith because his wife died, which is exactly what happened to this character. His wife died and he loses faith. And, you know, he's going to go through this horrible ideal. And in the end, you know, he's going to get safe. Well, they didn't take that one. They built that up. Well, they didn't take that angle either. And we'll talk about why they didn't take that angle later.
Yeah.
So then I was like, well, what are they going to do? I was like, well, this is going to be all about George Clooney's character. He's going to come through some redemption and he's going to change. And well, we'll talk about why later. But they don't take that angle either. So I totally.
This movie is loaded with surprises.
Unpredictable. Yeah. And yeah. So they just change. From time to time.
As a ride, this is super effective. It's great twist. One twist in there, you're like, you don't know what's coming.
And you kind of buy into it. It's weird.
Yeah, I know what I'm saying. Like, I mean, who would have thought you would buy into vampires? Like, in that scene, they're in a strip club, and that's happening. All of a sudden, literally, all that happens is he starts bleeding, and then vampires.
It does kind of make sense, because the bar is open from dusk till dawn.
That is the only remote allusion you get to vampires, period. Like, because this movie doesn't even, like, hint at, no one has any lines, or there's no illusions. No. There is nothing. These dudes just stop at this bar. And then there's vampires.
It's just where they're meeting.
Yeah, it's where they're just to meet some guy at. By the way, I gotta point out, before we go into our spoiler section, Cheech Marin plays three different characters, okay? He plays Border Patrol guy. He plays Carlos, the guy they're meeting at the bar. And then he plays,
The bodyguard of the bar.
I thought it was like the promoter or whatever.
Or the promoter, yeah, that's a better word. Promoter. Like the promoter.
He's actually got a title. It's kind of funny. Hold on.
Well,
Cheats.
Should I say it?
Yeah, no. Say it. No, just say it. No. Just watch the movie and then it's a word that you'll hear.
He plays Chet, times. The border guard, and Carlos. Anyway, a couple other characters I want to talk about. What did you guys think about the other truck drivers in the bar? Sex Machine. He was kind of awesome.
That scene where, like, oh, what's your name? Oh, Kate. Oh, what's yours? Oh, Sex Machine. It's like, oh, my gosh.
It's just like the whole movie. It's like, no nonchalant.
Dude, that was the guy with the gun.
The gun for his,
Oh, my gosh.
He wasn't shooting blanks.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I love how nonchalant that plays character off of him, because he's got the gun for his junk, and then like, later, he's like, what's your name? Oh, yeah? Mine's Sex Machine. And like, it's not even like no one stops or anything like that. They're just kind of taking like nonchalantly. But granted, I think in the context, it's kind of funny because they have just seen vampires. And it's really funny, as George Clooney says, I don't believe in vampires. I've never believed in vampires, but I just believe my two eyes. And what I just saw was vampires, okay? So it's kind of like, you know, they just play it off. The way they play it, that's what sells it. Like, the way they play it off, like, is crazy but believable somehow.
Well, what's funny is that, like, throughout the whole movie, I'm like, man, these two guys are douchebags. But next thing I know, I'm thinking about Faith. I'm like, what the crap? I mean, how do you go about, like, going from, like, a robbing movie to a guy raping chicks to a guy taking an ex-preacher and next thing you know, vampires, to coming down to, like, Faith? I mean, that blew me away. Like, I mean, if that was the intent of Quentin Tarantino, to have somebody walk away thinking – Faith can kill vampires, and he did it.
I mean, logically, he gave the most logically sound argument out there. Listen, what I saw was vampires from hell. If there's a hell, there's got to be a heaven. If there's a heaven, there's a God. So logically, I mean, listen, that's all theology you need in life, right? That's all you need.
Dude.
I mean, Quentin Tarantino sells it the best. I mean,
yeah.
Dude.
Cliff Sanders is about the smartest, minus any second now. All right. So we're going to go ahead and move into our spoiler section where we talk about the fates of the characters. Does anyone have any further comments before we move into said spoiler section?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I thought the meshing was good. I mean, I just think in the way they did it, it kind of sold it for me.
Yeah,
like obviously the movie knew exactly what it wanted to do and it did it well. You know, my kind of thought is that like Clooney and Tarantino, they kind of carry the movie. Their like relationship together, and also like Clooney's like just I don't know, like he's an awesome actor, and it definitely shows.
Oh yeah,
like I don't know, like to me like. He like his portrayal and like his character in that movie definitely like to me like outclasses every other actor in that movie by a pretty substantial margin.
Yeah. I am totally with you. Like he's phenomenal. He's great in that movie. Like he just I don't know what it is. Like he just plays it so doggone well. Like I really like you're right. He is so much. He feels so much better. And like he sold the movie. I don't know why, but like I've never seen him play on a character that hard before. But he's able to. He just sells it at every point. I don't know. I love his performance in this movie. It honestly was probably the biggest selling point. Him and Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
Like that. You're right, because without those two guys, I mean, even if Quentin had still written the script and hadn't been in it, it just wouldn't have been.
Yeah, it's just like a crate. It's just without them, I feel like it's just like a. It's just some B movie.
Right.
It's just some B movie with like a crazy crossover
yeah.
type thing.
Right. So, but because of those guys, it's like, holy crap, this is actually like legit.
Yeah.
So if George Clooney wasn't in this movie, I think Bruce Campbell would have been.
It would have been fun. I don't think he would.
I don't think he could have done it.
He could have done it like George Clooney.
Clooney plays this totally seriously,
and it works so well.
Yeah, he never, that's the character. He's the character who acknowledges how ridiculous it is without actually breaking the fact that he's serious. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he's like I'm saying, like just some of the lines he says, like he's so intense when he says them. Like I believe what he's saying, but he is aware of how absolutely insane.
But see, that's what I'm saying. Bruce Campbell would make this a total B movie.
Oh yeah,
make it.
Oh yeah,
absurdly.
It'd
ridiculous.
Be funny, but it wouldn't be the same movie.
It wouldn't be the same. Very true.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and move into our spoiler section. Close your ears. Skip to the last 10 minutes of the podcast.
Not you, Matt. No. Spoiler!
Okay. Now that we got spoilers, we're going to talk about the fates of the characters, okay? So
People die.
They almost all die.
Not Clooney, though, because he's too cool.
Because he's too cool, that's true. Not Clooney and not Rainbow.
He's got a neck tattoo. Come on, now.
He's got a neck tattoo.
It's awesome. Yeah, his arm's
connected to his arm.
All right. So, Stoll, you alluded to the preacher and how you thought he was gonna take up his cross. Oh!
He does take up a cross.
He does a shotgun cross.
Well, like I said, they kind of build him up like, you know, like they start saying things like, "Well, if we're gonna fight these vampires, we're gonna need like holy water and crosses and you know wooden stakes and things like that." And so the ex preacher kind of becomes this guy they all kind of turn to, and he kind of takes charge a little bit and. He starts taking out vampires. You know, he makes a cross so the vampires stay away from him. He just starts kind of taking them out and methodically, like slowly just working his way into safety and things like that. And you sort of think that he's going to kind of like take over. And there's actually a point where he gets bit by a vampire. And I still wasn't convinced that he was going to turn. I was like, oh, well, somehow the faith, because they built up the faith so much. I thought, well, because of his faith, somehow he's not going to get turned and he's going to save them all. Totally wrong. He turns and like ends up killing
his son.
He kills his son. As he's trying to save them, he ends up turning into a vampire and then turns around and kills his own son. And you're just kind of like, what the crap is happening?
And just remember, boys and girls, listen. Apparently, if you shoot a vampire as it's turning, it creates a giant explosion that kills other vampires. All right, because as his son is being attacked by the vampires, being bled out,
no, like viciously
bit and like torn apart, like zombie stuff. Okay, and his sister sees him and shoots him with a bow, which somehow translates to explosion.
She had the same. It was Rambo. She got Rambo's weapon.
Or Hunger Games style, man.
Yeah, her crossbow was blowing up vampires every time she hit one.
Because
he was a vampire yet.
Because it's a crossbow.
Oh! Yeah, so pretty much everyone buys the bow except for George Clooney and Preacher's daughter, okay? Preacher's daughter, well, she just got completely screwed, you know? She got sucked into this. She almost got raped by Quentin Tarantino. She had to see her brother. Kate, she gets really screwed. And then at the end of the day, she's like, man, I don't have anyone left. Can I go with you, George Clooney, on your gangster exploits? And he's like, no. I can't because I'm a bad dude and you don't want to get in league with me. Here's some money and leave. So she got probably a couple hundred grand and then had to go live life by herself.
Her entire family died.
After her whole entire family. And she is now going to change the way she looks at the world because she knows there's vampires out there. Do I smell a Blade crossover?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
There you go. It's actually a prequel of the Vampire Slayer. That's right. Yes. That's right. In the next movie, she takes out Jacob. Jesus, okay. Bella making out in a field, and bam, Kate comes in. Okay, so, yeah, but it was really sad. Sex Machine bites the bullet, and I was really sad when Sex Machine got bit, and of course he played the whole, oh, I got bit, I'm not going to tell anyone. So then when he turns, it wrecks everything. Yeah. You know?
That black guy died, too.
The black guy who, from Nom, the most ridiculous Nom story ever.
The actor's name is Fred Williamson.
The black dude?
Yeah, black dude.
For Williamson, he's right. Also the guy who plays Starsky and Hutch. He's also known for...
he was the chief.
Lethal Weapon is where he's actually
known. You know what this guy was? He was a ripoff of Danny Glover. That's what he was.
Is Danny Glover the one who's in... is Danny Glover the guy who's
Danny
in
Glover's
Lethal
Weapon? Danny
Glover's
in Lethal
Weapon. He's a main
character. Oh my gosh. Wow. Oh yeah, you're right. I totally got this mixed up. I thought he was like, okay, wow.
Wow.
You got movie knowledge, man.
So what you're saying is you can't tell the difference.
because he's that black guy.
I'm so sorry.
But no. I'm so sorry. Seriously, like, honestly, when I first
saw NCAACP or whatever is going to come and, like, stomp on my face, I'm sorry.
Whenever I saw him on screen, Matt was with me. I said, was that Danny Glover? Because he looks a lot like him. And I literally said to him, I was like, that's basically the ripoff of Danny Glover.
I seriously thought he was the chief from Lethal Weapon. But you're right. It is Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon.
Yep.
Holy crap.
No, he's the police chief in Starsky
and Hutch. Yeah. Yeah, he is. Wow. Well, that was a shocker to me. Stole just out movie quizzed me. All right.
What's up?
That never happened.
That won't happen ever again. All right.
Hey.
All right. Well, any other closing thoughts on this movie? Anything you guys liked, didn't like on this movie? You know, the movie isn't really known for its depth. It's a really fun ride. Although, the thing, question...
I felt like this movie could have actually gone to be really a really deep movie, and then they just were like, forget it.
We're having too much fun.
Exactly.
Because, like, every time they're like, it was almost like they had a good movie.
Yeah, well, like, there were several points where I was like, man, they could take this place.
Well, honestly, like, even the first half of the movie, it could have still been a legit, like...
Yeah.
Like,
especially... and so, a crime movie. For me, especially when they started building up, you know, Jacob, the preacher's, ex-preacher's character, they started building all that stuff up. I was like, man, they could go to some deep places here, and they actually could, like, have some commentary on some stuff, and they're like, kill him, blow him up, forget it. So I felt like it could have been really deep. But in the end, it was still an awesomely fun, entertaining movie. I would watch it again, definitely. So
I really liked how Quentin Tarantino died. Like George Clooney, you know, like he makes a statement. Hey, here's the piece that I couldn't give you
in life.
Yeah, like, see, that sounds like a deep quote.
It
does.
It is.
I mean, if you sit down and really think about it, other than the foot fetish thing, which I'll never see a Quentin Tarantino movie. I mean, you have the issue of faith. I mean, you have like him trying to take care of his brother. I mean, you see it throughout the movie, and then like at the very end, stabs him in the chest, saying, "I really hope this gives you peace." I mean, there are really good things to take away from this movie, irregardless of whether you think it was masterful or not. But you can still take faith aspects of it from Titty Twister Bar with vampires and strippers and Quentin Tarantino looking at some young thing trying to... Anyway, yeah. I thought it was good.
No, I'm with you. And I think, you know, this movie doesn't really delve into the questions, but it does present some things that, you know, you can walk away from the movie thinking about. I think I've thought, you know, I've walked away then thinking about, and... So it's a great ride, and it does give you some food for thought. Not a lot, it's not serious food for thought, but it's like, hey, here's some ideas. Think about it. What does this mean? So yeah, that's kind of.
I just want to point out the irony in holy water being filled into condoms.
Yeah.
Did y'all really catch that at all, dude?
It's funny, it's so ironic. It's a Chinese kid that's holding them all too. I don't know what that means.
I don't know the reference.
China, and he's holding them.
Okay. All right, moving on to grades. We're going to start on this side of the table. Matt, what would you rate this movie, A to B, man? Or A to F, sorry.
A to B? honestly, dude, I'd probably give it a B-. And the reason I rate it that way is that it's a fun ride. It's super intense. George Clooney is a freaking phenomenal actor, as well as you have decent child acting, which is one of my biggest pet peeves. But, I mean, the kids who play in it are really good. The Chinese kid died really well. I mean, you have funny instances, but at the same time... No, but, I mean, that scene seriously grossed me out. It was really, like, one of the most, like, horrific scenes I've ever seen. Like, I mean, who wants to see a Chinese kid get eaten by other Chinese people?
Wait. The vampires weren't Chinese, Matt.
They look the same to me. anyway, B-.
Stop.
Sheer entertainment value, this is absolutely A+. Like, so much fun. I would watch this so many more times hanging out. You know what? That was what this movie was going for. So, that's what I'm going to grade it based off
of. You're giving it A+? Oh, this is the first time in the history of BCD.
Hold on. Wait. I haven't said it. I'm not going to give it an A+. George Clooney is freaking phenomenal. So I'm going to go with an A. I'm just going to go with an A.
Okay.
Because this movie's awesome.
I feel like an A+, like, changed your life radically forever.
No. Okay. This movie is trying to be extremely entertaining, and it's exactly what it was. So based on that, I'm going to give it an A.
I think it's a fair grade. I'm not going to give it an A. I'm going to give it a B. But, you know, with that, I think ultimately at the end of the day, as a piece of sheer entertainment, absolutely. This thing's like an awesome ride. And... The worst part about this movie when you're done is walking away saying, what if they had actually made this like legit? Exactly.
Yes.
Because I was like, you know, what if this had been a straight crime thriller? I freaking would love it because George Clooney and Quentin Tarantino are already selling it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this movie is a lesser movie because of that, but it's like there was so many things in there that were already good that, and they didn't flush any of them out. They just kind of like went with and like you said, went on the ride. And it was a great ride. But I'm like, you know, if they'd actually like taken it that direction, whoa, maybe we could have had like a great movie. But we didn't. We didn't have a great crime movie. We didn't have a great faith movie. We just had a really fun movie. Not knocking it. George Clooney again sells this movie. This movie, he probably brings this movie from like a C to a B. So
that's for me. I would have given this movie, you know, probably a B minus to B. George Clooney brings it to an A for me.
And you know, Quentin Tarantino's script brilliant, and Quentin Tarantino plays his creeper rapist self really well. So they to make this movie. This movie would have been an okay, fun, cheesy B movie, as Jesse said. But because you get those great performances and that great writer in there. Jesse.
Where do I start? B+. There we go. That's where I start. But why? Why do I give it a B+? Acting was great. The premise or whatever, I guess. I don't know, like, I mean, I've seen this movie probably 7 or 8 times along a span of probably over 10 years. So, I mean, I've definitely viewed it in a lot of different ways. Like, when I was a teenager, it's obviously just, hey, the explosions and vampires and stuff. And I didn't even appreciate how good of an acting job Clooney did or all the funny dialogue or anything like that. But, you know, from coming from that to where I am now, just my taste in movies and appreciation for movies and all the small things that are done in between the, you know, in between the credits and stuff. Definitely very good movie, especially for something, you know, with this cheesy of a premise. I watch a lot of movies, you know, that have kind of like stupid premises and stuff and are just overall just B-movies in general or just bad movies. Because I like to enjoy some movies sometimes that are so bad that they're actually good.
Terror James?
No, that's too bad. Ever. But
I had to say it.
I don't know. Definitely worth a watch. I'd give it a B+. And you know, honestly, kind of along the lines of what you were saying, Caleb, if they maybe would have gone a different route with the movie, I think it would have definitely been a more popular movie. It may have been a more critically acclaimed movie. But it would have been along the lines of a movie we've already had before.
Okay.
So I think the way I view this is something kind of original and it's on its own.
Yeah. Well,
I would say this is kind of like a predecessor to some, you know, kind of movies that break the fourth wall and stuff. Oh, yeah. And definitely take liberties with what they are. You know, a lot of those that we have today.
Yeah.
I give a little bit of credit to this movie.
Yeah, I give you that absolutely. Precursor to Scream. Okay. Bama, what's your grade?
Okay, originality through the roof for this movie, especially for that just crazy left field turn from out of nowhere. Great acting, as we've already said. Very, very cheesy, low budget special effects. In this, there was even a scene that I saw, totally a mannequin vampire exploding right there. So, you know, you go into this movie and you think it's one thing and it turns. I'm going to give it a B-. I think that's the lowest of all of us. I mean, it's close with everyone, but I just can't give it anything much higher than that. Just because, I mean, you think it's one thing and then it completely turns on you. Although it's super entertaining, it's just, it doesn't really stick true to what it begins with. But it sticks true to itself as the film continues through.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, that's fun. There you have it. We're all pretty close. We all vary in the little things, but I think we all agree. Check this movie out on Netflix right now. Okay, well, we're about out of time here, so we're going to have to run through the wrap-up pretty quick. Buzz items. Real quick. I mean, I'm not going to elaborate too much. Matt, do you have anything you're buzzed about this week?
Man, the more and more I just look at Superman and just all the things that are coming about it, the more and more I am so excited about this movie. I can't wait to look, like, I just can't wait for the IMAX Warren experience with this freaking movie.
Yes.
I might die in the theater.
If I see it before I die, it'll be a blessing. Okay, Stoll, buzz item.
Already said a buzz about this in prior podcasts, but I work at Walmart. And because I work at Walmart, I get to see things before they come out. because we put them in the back room before they come out. So I actually got to see the Game of Thrones Season 2 box set with its awesome display and everything like that in the back of Walmart. So I know what it looks like. And I've actually got to, like, pick it up and touch it.
Did you
and,
touch it, molest
and
it?
And smell it? Admire it, and maybe...
Did you lick it?
It maybe,
was it white?
It might have spoken...
Was it black?
It might have spoken to me much like Kate spoke to Quentin Tarantino's character.
Whoa! So Caleb, what's your
No, I'm just kidding. So, but I did get to see the Game of Thrones 2, and the Game of Thrones 2 season 2 comes out.
Comes out on Blu-ray. We are recording this on Monday. You're hitting it on Friday. So by the time you hear this, it'll already be out.
Right.
So. But it is going to be out Tuesday. But yeah, it'll be out when this podcast is out.
Right.
I sadly have ordered. I sacrificed waiting a couple days because Amazon had it for $30, the Blu-ray DVD combo pack, versus $55 from Walmart. So $25, I got to wait till Thursday. But hey, by the time this podcast is up, I'll have it in my hand. My buzz item is the Oscars, the most prestigious event in film. I'm super excited. I'm sure that, yeah, I see you over there. That's kind of how the award show works, and fair enough, yeah, it's not necessarily about who's the best, but who can play their cards right. But you know what? I get super excited because this is like the most prestigious thing, and it's fun to do the predicting, it's fun to talk about. I've got some picks I'm going to have up on my blog and on One Monthly's website this week, so keep an eye out.
And there is potential, actually, for... us to win some theater seats.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. A little More Monthly commercial here. I'm a writer for More Monthly, and they're doing a contest. If you can guess the right picks for the Oscars, you can get on their website, More Monthly, and it'll be a little blurb for it. Be a superstar or whatever. And basically, if you get the most right, you will get two tickets
to Paradise.
To Paradise, yes, actually. Yes, and the Warren director's seat. Once per month for the rest of the year.
Wow.
So that's the rest of the year. So that's 10 months.
That's pretty awesome.
10 months. Think about that. So get on. And if there's a tiebreaker, there'll be a drawing. So what I say is you get on there. I would say you do your research on screen. Not saying you can necessarily research these for Hulu, but you can make some pretty good guesses.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
That one's an ace in the hole. I'm pretty sure Argo's an ace in the hole for Best Picture.
Well, don't tell them.
I was gonna go through our predictions on the podcast, but since we're running low on time, but that's my two cents on Best Picture and Mr. Daniel Day-Lewis. And might as well say Anne Hathaway, too. She's going to win Best Supporting Actress. Anyway, we're going to move on to the next item. But yes, Sunday night, 6 o'clock Central Time. I think it's 7 Eastern Time, and then 4 Pacific Time for you Calis who listen to us. So
there's
people in Arizona, man. We've got fans. Okay. We've got fans in Arizona. Shout out to our Arizona fans. Woot woot. Okay. All right, Jesse, what are you buzzing about this week?
Season 2 of the Mortal Kombat web series is coming out.
Oh my gosh.
And they have a trailer up. I think it just maybe came out either today.
I think it was today.
I think it came out today. So by the time you hear this, it'll be like four or five days ago, but go watch it. It's awesome.
All right, Bama, what are you buzzed about?
Okay, we watch a lot of Netflix, all of us Flicksters. Recently, I've been watching Firefly on Netflix. I'm about halfway through it.
Yes.
Really, really excited. I'm so sad that this thing could have been so much bigger than what it was. So I'm just looking forward to watching more of this and then watching the movie Serenity. Yeah. Afterwards.
Fantastic, and I'll have to say on that is Firefly is one of like about 30 reasons I have to hate network TV.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I think that about wraps it up. Movies coming out this weekend: Dark Skies and Snitch. Go look them up if you care. I actually have a screen of Snitch tomorrow night, so see how that is. I don't think the one is gonna be very good, but anyway. So if you're interested, look them up. All right, you can follow us on Twitter at BCD Flicksters. We have our Facebook group. Please go like us and comment. We want comments and suggestions and chatter. Chat about us, please. Even if it's bad things, we'll listen to it as long as you give us suggestions. My personal Twitter is at BigCalKenobi91, and my other one is @Masters_review. Again, we want your feedback. Okay, and make sure you tune in next week. We will be reviewing Primer, the time travel movie that gets way in deep of the logistics of time travel and what does that look like and how does it operate and function from the point of a physicist. It was written by a mathematics major, so he's got an interesting perspective. Anyway, so check it out. And until next time,
fight now, cry later. kill the Batman.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Game over.